dog, Bishop Young and Dino. Well, don't argue much now that I've acquired the things of the good life. 360 Medina, how things have changed. A crib with an east and a west wing. I gotta thank God for my life, and no, He keeps blessing me with more and more. Now that I see that I can reach for a dream and pull it from the sky. Sweeter than sugar is what I drink. My life would be if left up to me. And oh, I like that. Feel me, God. No longer out there chasing dreams. I'm living the words of the song I sing. Gotta thank my fans for your support. For you, I'll keep loving me more and more.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 30 of the report. Yeah, man, the Span Report has hit 30 and shit. It took 3 years for the Span Report to get to 30 episodes. That's fucking awful. Yeah, man. But yeah, we're here, man. The 30th episode of the Span Report podcast. And this is Thanksgiving week. So to everybody, you probably won't hear from me before or after. Well, before Thanksgiving, really. But to all of you guys, you know, I hope you're having a happy Thanksgiving week and you're having the safe travels and stuff like that. And I'm going to talk about safe travels during the holidays and whatnot. And I'm going to talk about a few things. There's been a couple things that's been going on, and I kind of feel like I should talk about them. And so, yeah, I'm going to get into it. I got a few things that I want to talk about. I kind of want to talk about Black Friday a little bit. I want to talk about my experience actually waiting out to go get a PlayStation 4. I'm going to talk a bit about that. I'm going to talk about... an email I got. I got an email. Someone really felt like they needed to tell me everything they felt about me. So I'm going to read that and I'm going to respond to that here on the show. And I'm going to talk about, let's see, we got the knockout game shit going on. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And also, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to update a little bit on the Renisha McBride story. A little bit, but yeah, man, tonight is Tuesday. It's a Tuesday night, and I wanted to record this episode last night, you know, but responsibility sometimes, you know, take precedence. So I had to kind of put this off until tonight. And so we're here. So I want to talk about what am I gonna get to first? Yeah, we could talk about that PlayStation 4 shit. Yeah, let's talk about the PlayStation 4, man. Yeah, so I finally got one. I got a PlayStation 4. I got it Sunday morning. Okay. And for those of you who who've been my friend on Facebook or whatever, my personal Facebook page or whatnot. For those of you, I had the system pre-ordered, and for whatever reason, I had it pre-ordered through Best Buy, and for whatever reason, Best Buy, they kept taking the monies out of my checking account and putting the monies back into my checking account. It happened about 3 times before I decided to just say fuck it and cancel my pre-order, because, you know, even though I'm okay, I'm not so okay to where I can just automatic just have $500 show up missing all of a sudden if I didn't account for it. So yeah, I canceled the pre-order, and so when it came time for the system to launch, you know, your man Span was kind of SOL, because I wasn't one of those guys who was going to stand out 10 hours camping out at the side of Best Buy or GameStop or wherever else they were selling it. I wasn't going to do that to get the system. So you know, when it came out, you know, like, was that last or the 15th or whatever, it came out on the 15th or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll catch it online maybe a week after or something like that. Maybe they'll, you know, the stock will replenish or whatever. But it was hell trying to find a PlayStation 4 anywhere. I did a lot of calling around, checked out on the internet, even signed up for like, you know, alerts for, you know, different stores where they may have one available. And it just so happened that I was, it was at Friday. It was Saturday. I had my daughter with me and we went up to Best Buy. And this one particular Best Buy, I asked the lady there. She told me that they would have some on Sunday. She said Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, we'll be releasing the systems that people pre-ordered but didn't pick up. So I'm assuming that she's told this to quite a few people. I know I'm not the only one who's come up to her or come up in Best Buy to ask, did they have any PlayStation 4? So I'm like, okay, I got a plan. My ass is going to be at Best Buy, even though they open at 10. They were going to do a special opening at 8. But I'm going to have my ass up there like 6 in the morning. And it was funny because when I got up there, it was like maybe 7 or 8 guys sitting in their cars waiting. So 7 or 8 guys sitting in their cars. It's cold as shit outside too, man. It's like, it's dark outside. You know, we're in Michigan. So it's like maybe 17, 18 degrees outside. Everybody's sitting in their cars. But when I pulled up, you know, it was like 7 or 8 guys sitting there. And eventually one guy gets out his car to go get in line. Another guy gets out. So I'm like, okay, fuck it. So I get up and I get out and, you know, I get in line or whatnot. And, you know, they pass out tickets for when you, you know, when you're in line or whatever, I guess to account for all the systems that they had. So if you had a ticket, you were pretty much guaranteed to get a system. So once they came, you know, once the manager came out, he handed out the tickets to get the PlayStation 4. A few people left, you know, they left, you know, Best Buy or whatever. I wasn't going to take the chance of them, you know, giving the system away. So I went back to my car. I sat in my car until about 8 o'clock when they were going to open up. And here's the thing, you know, again, I know they told a whole lot of different people that they were going to open up at 8. And unfortunately, there was a couple families that showed up there at 8 o'clock. And they were assuming that they were going to be, I guess, a ton of PlayStation 4s available. And there was some kids with them. You know, it was a, you know, an older guy. He had his kids with him. And so at 8 o'clock, Best Buy opens up their doors and, you know, the kids dart right to the back where the PlayStation 4s and the Xbox Ones are, not knowing that you needed a ticket to get, you know, a PlayStation 4, you know, and they didn't have any Xbox Ones available, so that you needed a ticket to get the PlayStation 4. So they told everybody that had a ticket to go straight over to the customer service desk and they'd handle it over there. So when the kids come from the back, after they realized that there were no PlayStation 4s in the back, they come up to the front and they're like, oh, man, you know, the guy's rung me up or whatever. And he says, I want a PlayStation 4. And the lady tells the kid, you know, that you need a ticket. And she said, well, where do you get the ticket? She said, well, the tickets have already been passed out. They were passed out at like 7:30 this morning and we're all out of tickets. And the look of agony on this kid's face and like the look of hopelessness on his father's face, because I know if that kid had his way, he'd probably had his ass in line at 6 o'clock in the morning too. And his father probably was just like, man, fuck that, you know. But I got a PlayStation 4. And I haven't really had a whole hell of a lot of time with it yet. I bought NBA 2K14 with it. So if any of you guys are on a PlayStation 4, if any of you, you know, have gotten a chance to get one and you got NBA 2K14, we can get on that and I can whoop your ass on that. But yeah, I got it and I was lucky. You know, I wanted to beat the Black Friday. I want to beat that Black Friday rush, man, because I know it's going to be madness in all of these stores come Black Friday, not only for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox, but I mean, just like TVs and tablets and everything else. You know, these stores, they're really, really, really pushing, you know, Black Friday, and Black Friday has extended itself into Thanksgiving. And that's what I meant when I said I wanted to talk a bit about, you know, the holiday travel and things like that. You know, it's funny how, you know, we know that a lot of these retailers, they're dealing with a lot of I don't know. I guess you could say they have reduced profit margins or something like that. I don't know for sure how it, you know, what, how, you know, how it works out for different retailers as far as Target and Kmart and Sears and Walmart and stuff like that. But, you know, Walmart is pretty much the biggest as far as like, you know, your family, you know, regular retailers. Walmart is the biggest and the most common, and they tend to have, you know, some lower, you know, lower prices than a lot of these, you know, a lot of other places. So, you know, I made a conscious decision to not shop Black Friday. I made a conscious decision only because Black Friday doesn't start on Friday anymore. Black Friday starts right on Thanksgiving, and a lot of these stores are opening up at 6 on Thanksgiving. Now, a lot of people are still eating their food with their family. They're enjoying their family on Thanksgiving. A lot of people have, you know, flown in or driven in or rode a train in from, what, you know, different parts of the country to come be with family. And it's almost as if, you know, these companies are trying to intrude on that to make a buck. And of course, you know, they're corporate. You would expect them to do whatever it took to make a dollar. But, you know, it's the I don't know. I guess it's incumbent upon us to, like, not so much take it, you know, indulge, so to speak. And I know it's hard for a lot of people not to indulge when you see some of the prices of some of these items that you pretty much had your eye on for quite some time. And so I get it. I mean, I've done Black Friday shopping before, but, you know, it was just this year. I think the push really got to me. I want to say a couple months ago, me and my girlfriend, we were out shopping, and this was before Halloween, and there were already Christmas decorations being put out for sale. They were already, you know, just the drumbeat for Christmas before Halloween, before Thanksgiving. There was already the drumbeat to get us in gear for Christmas. And so I just kind of, I almost felt offended about the shit. To be quite honest with you, to be very frank with you, I was almost kind of offended that they kept pushing this this Christmas thing on us. So, you know, I got the news about, you know, Walmart, you know, being open at 6 o'clock in the evening on Thanksgiving. And I thought about all of the workers, you know, all of the people who work retail, especially those at Walmart, because, you know, Walmart, you know, they don't necessarily have the greatest reputation when it comes to how they treat their employees. So, you know, the fact that, you know, these people won't necessarily have the time to spend with their family on Thanksgiving because somebody wants to buy an Xbox, or somebody wants to buy a television, or somebody wants to buy a PlayStation, or whatever it is that they're going to buy. The fact that these people won't get an opportunity to spend time with their families, you know, I can sympathize with that. And I say I can sympathize with that because there was a time, I never forget this shit. I was working for ATA Airlines. This airline no longer exists, so I can talk all the shit I want about them. I was working for ATA Airlines at Midway Airport in Chicago. And this was Christmas. This was a Christmas in Chicago. And I'll never forget this because, you know, there were, you know, it, by it being the holiday with airline, anybody who works in the airline industry can tell you, if you're scheduled to work on the holiday, you work on the holiday. If you're not scheduled, you just don't come to work or whatever. But, you know, what they try to do, you know, if things were light during the holiday, you know, they would, you know, start announcing whether or not people can go home early. And typically that would generally go along seniority line. So if somebody had been, you know, if you just got hired in, chances are your ass wasn't going home, you know. But I remember, you know, it was Christmas. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was Christmas. And I just remember being extremely annoyed that I was working on Christmas at like 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. And the thing that I was annoyed about was, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we got, you know, it was real heavy traffic, and all of the people that they had let go home, they were regretting letting them go home because traffic had picked up at the airport. And so I'm pissed because I'm still at work and I can't go home. And there's a lot of people at my grandma's house, you know, like a lot of people that I hadn't seen in years, you know, since I was a kid. People had come in from like different parts. Like I got family that lives in Saginaw, Michigan. I hadn't seen them since maybe 4 or 5 years prior. You know, I had family to come in from Las Vegas. I had family to come in from down south in Texas. So I had all this family at my grandmother's house. It was as a matter of fact, it was so many people that my aunt actually made them sign a sign-in sheet. It was over 100 people that came over to my grandmother's house on Christmas, and I missed every last one of them because I was at work on Christmas because some motherfucker decided he wanted to surprise his family on Christmas, and I missed Christmas with my family because of it. And so even though when you know people will say all the time, well, you know what you were signing up for when you took the job, you know, you can't complain about that shit. Like, no, it's not necessarily that I knew that I was going to have to work all the way through on Christmas. I would have much rather been at home with my people on Christmas, but because of the obligations of the job, I wasn't able to do that. I needed the job. It wasn't that I necessarily wanted to miss Christmas and I knew what I was signing up for. I needed the job. And so a lot of people who work in places like a Walmart or Target or in the mall, you know, Toys R Us or what have you, you know, a lot of these people don't want to fucking be there on the holiday serving you when they can be at home with their own people. They don't. And that's the thing, man. This is this entitlement motherfucking mentality that a lot of people in America got, that, you know, well, you know, the gas station is supposed to be open. This is supposed to be open. You know, you're supposed to like, honestly. And then, you know, the corporations, they don't necessarily see anything wrong with it, especially if they could turn the profit off of it. And, you know, to make matters worse, man, you know, Walmart is actually asking people to donate money to their employees so that they can have a nice holiday. What kind of shit is that? Like, you're going to ask me after I spent this money to donate more money to the employees that you're supposed to be paying so that they can have a decent holiday, as opposed to paying your employees a livable wage or paying them a decent wage so that they can have a holiday without the need for donations, without the need for having to be on welfare and having the need to, you know, to be on food stamps or what have you, because Walmart is known for not exactly paying their employees a decent wage. It depends on what state you live in. You know, and there's always outliers. There's always, you know, people who are able to rise up, so to speak, who are able to move into management positions, who are able to move up into, you know, positions of authority and what have you. But very seldom, I mean, for the vast majority of the people who work in places like that, it doesn't work that way. No matter how hard they work, it doesn't happen that way for them. And so, you know, again, I made the conscious decision to know, I won't be shopping on Black Friday. I got pretty much everything I want right now. I got pretty much everything I could think I wanted right now. I already have it. So I'm thankful for that. I'm real thankful for that. But that's enough about that shit. All right. I want to talk about this. I've been hearing a lot of shit about this knockout game, man. A lot of people have been talking about it. It's been in the news a lot lately. I was hearing it on like sports talk radio, because that's what I listen to when I'm in my truck at work a lot. Now I've been listening to a lot of sports talk radio, and they brought the knockout game up on there. And then I come home and I'm on Facebook and people are talking about it on Facebook. And then I go on the Huffington Post and people are talking about it on the Huffington Post. Like, damn, this shit just blew up real quick. And then I'm listening to, other podcasters. I got a chance to briefly listen to, I think, Tariq Nasheed. He did, I think, an hour long show about the myth of the knockout game. Okay. And here's the thing. I don't know if it's a myth or not. All I know is, and this is the first thing that I thought when I first heard about it, is that it's going to take somebody to get shot and killed for that to, you know, kind of die down and not happen anymore. If it's happening the way that people say it's going to happen, it's going to take somebody to get shot and killed for it to stop happening. And lo and behold, some kid in, I think it's Lansing, Michigan. Let me pull this kid's name up. It's Marvell Weaver. Marvell Weaver in Lansing, Michigan, tried to play the knockout game by using a stun gun. He was going to use a stun gun on this guy to knock him out at the bus stop. And the guy who he went at, he's a concealed pistol carrier. And he shot Marvell's ass twice. And fortunately for Marvell, he still lives. You know, he's still living. And fortunately for, you know, the gentleman who he tried to attack, he was able to successfully defend himself. He was actually at the bus stop waiting for his daughter. He was picking up his daughter from school, you know, at the bus stop or whatever. So luckily for her, she didn't have to find her father at the bus stop laid the fuck out because some kid wanted to play a game. I don't know if it's a myth or not. I really don't. But something tells me that Marvell doesn't necessarily think that this game is a myth. And I know for damn sure he doesn't think those two bullets in his ass was a myth either. Not only that, man, you know, people, they were talking about, you know, it's just a way for them to promote stand your ground laws and, you know, get white people riled up and scared of black folks, give them another reason to shoot niggas down and everything else. And I'm like, I'm listening to it. The first time I had even heard about the knockout game didn't even involve black kids. It was white kids talking about it. So I'm almost wondering whether or not, you know, my job is keeping me uninformed or something, you know, cause, I try to stay as informed as I possibly can when it comes to things like that. But, you know, I didn't necessarily think that this was some type of mass conspiracy to get, white people riled up to go out here and shoot more black people. I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. I didn't feel like that. I just felt like this was a stupid game that teens, if it was happening, that teens were involved in. And it's going to, unfortunately for somebody's going to end up killed if they continue to partake in the game. So yeah, man, if it's a myth, I don't know. I just know that here in Michigan, when the shit happened, somebody got their ass popped, okay? And I don't think it was anything mythical about that shit. So yeah, that was my brief commentary on that. Yeah, what else happened, man? What else happened? Oh, shit. I'm drawing a blank, man. And y'all know what I do when I draw a blank? I'm going to take my ass to a musical break and I'm going to get my thoughts about me. So let me take this quick musical break. And when I return, man, I'm going to figure out what the hell it was I was thinking about talking about. And then I got some, I got the listener feedback to respond to. So don't go anywhere. Check it. Stick around. We'll be right back. Yeah, man. You know what? I had to take it back. I had to take it back a little bit, man. I'm feeling a little older and stuff. I felt like, you know, that's an oldie but a goodie. And you know what? I keep telling people that I'm an R&B cat, and I hardly ever play any of the sisters when it comes to the R&B music. And you know what? That's my bad. That's an oversight on my part, ladies. So you know what? I felt like, you know what? I can play this right here and feel good and know that was some good shit. So that's what I did, man. That was Jhené with Sending My Love, man. So y'all know what to do. But yeah, man, it's time for the listener feedback. I went back. See, here's the magic of podcasting, is that I was able to go back and listen to what the fuck I said earlier. And you know what? I pretty much covered everything I said that I was going to cover earlier. I pretty much did all of that. So the what's left is for me to respond to these emails. And I know I said I was going to talk about or update you guys on Renisha McBride. And a lot of that has to do well, whatever it is I'm going to say about what's going on with Renisha McBride. It has to do with this email that was sent to me this week. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to make this a habit. Because I don't want people to feel as if, I don't want people to feel as if this is something that they could do regularly and get any type of shine here on the Spam Report podcast, okay? But I felt like this had to be addressed because it's happening a lot. I'm seeing it a lot more. And so I felt like maybe I should respond to at least one of these people and kind of just like nip it in the bud, almost as much as, you know, when it comes to the Freemasons and stuff like that. So let me respond to this now and, you know, just kind of deal with whatever backlash it may come or whatever. But yeah, let me just get to this email, man. And it's titled Mr. Span, Just Change Your Name to Uncle Tom. Okay. It's funny, I have a white guy in my family named Uncle Tom. Well, I used to. He's passed on, but yeah. Let me get to this email. Mr. Spam. Excuse me, where shall I begin? I guess I should say that I've been following your broadcasting career for a while now. I subscribed to your Spam TV channel on YouTube a few years ago after watching a video you ripped off from ABC about racism still happening in America. From there, I've watched you do videos giving your own personal commentary, running the gamut. Excuse me, this damn Lining Kugels is killing a nigga. Okay. I said from there, I've watched you do videos giving your own personal commentary, running the gamut from homosexual marriage, a position you seem to have made a pivot on, to your ridiculous involvement with the Freemasons. Someone should tell you that there really is no such thing as black Freemasons also, but that's for another day. But then you seem to come to this realization that you can get more views on YouTube if as you said in one video, spoke your complete mind. And it was there in that moment that you became a full-fledged Uncle Tom, a sellout, if you will. Now, of course, you can just dismiss me as crazy, but I've got a read on you. See, you make videos about easy targets, black youth, especially black women, and your utter disdain for them. It started with your video about the young woman in Seattle, Washington, who was punched in the face by a police officer. And in the title of that video, you said she deserved it. You actually did two videos on it, called the girl a little bitch and everything, told the world how it was right for the police, a white police officer at that, to punch an unarmed black female teenager in the face. Okay, but wait, there's more. I've seen you make comments on other videos on YouTube supporting measures like forcing welfare recipients to take drug tests to be eligible for benefits. You've embraced the Caucasoid Eurocentric standard of what it means to be presentable by continuing to belittle young men of color for sagging their pants, never understanding that it's a sign of defiance to the very idea that you have to look one way in order to be seen as presentable. You stopped doing videos and started your podcast, and it's more of the same. You couldn't wait to tell the world about your membership in the NRA, a group that is right now behind several laws that promote the slaughter and wanton imprisonment of black men, Stand Your Ground being one of these laws. A law that helped famed killer George Zimmerman get away with murder. You disparage the entire Justice for Trayvon movement, never stopping to acknowledge that it was that very movement that got George Zimmerman to even have a face, to even have to face a jury. And now this, Renisha McBride, yet another black woman whom you hold disdain for, gunned down in cold blood, and you want to make excuses as to why she may have deserved to die. Had that been your mother, your sister, daughter, or friends, would you be as callous as you were in that last episode? Or would fighting for your family's right to live, or would you be fighting for your family's right to live when all they were doing was looking for help? You, sir, are a coward. And Uncle Tom, you shuffle along to get along. You would be one of the first to sit around a bunch of white folks and confirm stereotypes about our people to them. I know you would. Your pattern of behavior shows that you would. I'm sure you deny it, but your actions are speaking louder than anything. That's all I had to say. Just wanted to let you know I see you. You should be Tommy Sotomayor's sidekick. Do a show together called The Sellout Hour. Now that would be appropriate. Sincerely, Miss Red Your Ass. Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing. And I want to make this perfectly clear. Okay. Of course, you know, this whomever sent this email said that I have a disdain for black women. When I'm raising a black, you know, I'm raising a little girl. My girlfriend's black. My mother is black. All of the women in my family pretty much are black. And I love each and every last one of them. I don't have a disdain for black women. When she made the allusion to the video that I did. I did a video a couple years ago. And it was about that girl in Seattle who got punched in the face by the police. And I did say she deserved it. And I still do believe that she deserved it. Now, here's the thing. And I've said this many times before. I don't co-sign bullshit. I don't. And I don't give a fuck who it's coming from. If it's bullshit from black folks, I'm not co-signing it. If it's bullshit from white folks, I'm not co-signing it. And what that girl did in that video when she got punched in the face by the cop was some bullshit. Plain and simple. It's cut and dry. Just like that. Okay? Cut and dry. Here's the thing too. I've been arrested twice. Okay? Two times I've been arrested. Both times I managed not to get my ass whooped while in the processes of being arrested. Both times I've been exonerated after being arrested. There's a way to handle yourself when dealing with the fucking police. And if you know that the police have a history of gunning us down, whooping our ass, and doing all sorts of shit when we don't deserve it, what the fuck makes you think that the police is gonna cut your ass any sort of slack when you do deserve it, when you do resist, when you do act the goddamn fool? I'm supposed to co-sign her acting the goddamn nut because she black? Are you fucking serious right now? Are you serious? See, here's the thing, man. And I've said this quite a few times. I've said this to people on Facebook. I've said this to a lot of people. Yo, I am not afraid at all to march to the beat of my own drum. I'm not. I hold a lot of views that might not be deemed popular to other folks. But I try to hold my views in a logical way. I try to always apply logic to how I look at things. Okay? I don't always have the politically correct view on everything. Now, you made an allusion to another video that I did about homosexuality. And in that video, it was about homosexual marriage. At the time that video was made, I didn't necessarily care about homosexual marriage. I didn't care. And I tried so hard to belay that or to convey that thought. That at the time I was ambivalent to it. I really didn't care either way whether it happened or not. I just didn't. I took offense a bit that because I was black that I was supposed to because I was black that I was supposed to co-sign it. I took a little bit of offense to that. The only objection I think I might have had even at the time, I don't necessarily hold that objection now, was that if it would force houses of worship that don't condone the practice to perform those marriages. That was the only objection that I had to it. I didn't care. I was ambivalent to it. I didn't make a pivot. I was ambivalent to it. It didn't affect me. So I didn't care. Now, here's another thing too, which is what's even more funny. That video is almost 4 or 5 years old. Am I not allowed to change my mind? Am I not allowed to at some point acknowledge that I might have been wrong about some shit? Is that not possible? You know, that's the thing about growth. That's the thing about being an adult, is that you can acknowledge when you were wrong about something, change your mind on it, and let it be as it is. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of those things where I felt like I'm not right on this. And I was man enough to say, yo, I was wrong about it, and I've changed my mind on it. Doesn't make me a flip-flopper. Doesn't mean I'm, you know, blowing with the winds of time or anything else. I felt like, yo, the position that I had before might not have been the right position, and I changed my mind. I'm allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that. I'm pretty sure there are positions that you held as a child that you don't hold now. I'm pretty sure of that. Okay. Renisha McBride. Here's the thing. You said I was callous about Renisha McBride. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. The only thing I asked was for people to let the story develop. And that was it. That was it. On Facebook, I spoke about, scenarios where people had used women in distress as decoys to enter to perform home invasions. Yeah, I spoke about that because those things do happen. But not once did I say that this girl deserved to be shot in the face with a fucking shotgun. Not once did I say that. Not once did I say she deserved what happened to her, whether she was drunk or not. Not once did I say that woman deserved what happened to her. The only thing I asked people to do was to let the story fucking develop. And here's why. When the story first broke, nobody even knew who the fuck the shooter was. And we were already making it a racial thing. Nobody knew who the shooter was. They talked about it being in Dearborn Heights, and Dearborn Heights being primarily white. Yo, your man Span lives in Dearborn Heights. I live right here. This shit happened in my city. Not only that, which a lot of people don't know, who don't live from me, who aren't from around here, the district attorney is a black woman. Black woman. Did you really honestly think, well, had you known that, do you think that she would have just let that shit ride? No. Not only that, you know, a lot of it had been made about, you know, they didn't even release his name. They didn't release his name. Like, yo, it wasn't the media's job to release his name if the police didn't release his name. And if the police had told them not to release his name, then what the fuck is the media supposed to do if they want to keep themselves out of legal trouble? Put it that way. Now, does he deserve to go to jail? More than likely. Depends on how that shit happened. Again, we don't fucking know what happened that night. And the only thing that I asked people to do was, instead of rushing to conclusions, instead of riling themselves up, instead of setting themselves up for disappointment, was to let this story develop before we make any conclusions. That's all I ask people to do. How was that being callous? How was that being callous? I've even told people before yo, if somebody comes to my house that I don't know at 3-4 o'clock in the morning banging on my door, I got my gun too. I'm not gonna shoot them. Depends on what happens. But, you know, again, that's I handle things a bit differently from everybody else. Try to be responsible with my shit. But I'm gonna protect my house. I'm gonna protect me and mine and everything else. That's how I think. I'm gonna wait. You know, sometimes, you know, people talk about calling the police. I've had issues with the cops. I don't always trust the cops. Sometimes the cops come after some shit that happened. Sometimes the cops can't prevent shit from happening. So there's a whole hell of a lot of different ways that shit could have rolled. And it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback and all that shit. It's easy to do that. But, you know, you can call me an Uncle Tom. You can call me a sellout. You can call me all of that shit. Here's the thing. I don't give a fuck what you call me. That shit means as much to me as the paper I wipe my ass with. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. You can disagree with me all you like. Be respectful when you disagree with me. As much as I'm going to be respectful when I disagree with you. I know everybody ain't going to agree with me on a lot of shit. I just know that because that's the nature of who I am. People ain't going to agree with a lot of shit I say. And that's cool. But just know that, you know, this type of deal, like this, like calling me an Uncle Tom and all this other shit, not really knowing me the way you think you do. It's not. Let's just keep this shit simple. How about that? Let's just keep this shit simple and leave that as it is. All right. So I finally got that bullshit out the way. And I'm tired. Can you tell? Can you hear it in my voice, man? I sound tired. And I'm trying to okay. I'm cool. But I got another message. I got a message from somebody else here. So let me respond to this brother. This is Young Rude Boy M. He sent me a message on my fan page on Facebook. And this is rather long, dude. It's kind of long. But it's Thanksgiving week. I'll indulge you. I'll read this out, man. Let's see. Hey, what's going on, family? How's the weather up there? I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and it's cold as hell. Dog, it's cold as hell here too, dog. Let's see. Oh, and or the mountains, since hell's supposed to be burning hot. Anyways, I copped that MMLP2, the Marshall Mathers LP2, and I'm pretty impressed with it. Eminem is again showing us how amazing his skill and talent is. What are your thoughts? I haven't heard it. I think the only track off that Eminem album that I've heard was Rap God. I gave it one listen. I haven't had a chance to really sit up and take a listen to that Eminem just yet. I keep getting a few of my friends have some pretty strong opinions about it, but I haven't even listened to anything outside of that Rap God track to form an opinion on that one. Let's see, what else? And how about the other Detroit artists? I grew up loving underground rap. Like UGK, 36 Mafia, etc. in Dayton, really embraced down south music, so that kind of explains my love for south music. You know, like I said, man, I'm more of an R&B dude. You know, I listen to rap, I listen to hip hop. You know, depending on my mood, but for the most part, man, like you'll more likely catch me listening to some Sam Cooke or some shit like that before you'll catch me listening to a whole hell of a lot of rap. And I play a lot of rap. I like Crit, man. Like I listen to Crit. I listen to that. I like Pusha T. I like J. Cole. Even though Drake has been a bit moist lately, I'm kind of feeling a few of those tracks off of that last joint he just dropped. So, yeah, I'm a little bit all over it, but I'm more of an R&B dude, so there you go. Oh, and 3-6, man, I went to college in Tennessee, so I couldn't get away from 3-6 and Project Pat and DJ Paul and all them cats, man. So yeah, trust and believe, I'm well versed in some of that shit, man. Let's see what else. But I still love the old New York rap, Nas, Mobb Deep, etc. Do you think rappers will wake up and step it up a little, or is it still going to be I'm getting paid, fuck rap type of attitude? You know what, I can't say to all that. I mean, the guys who are, I think, more mainstream, I think more so have that type of attitude. But again, like, I listen to guys like Crit, and I don't get that type of vibe from Crit. And he's like one of my favorite young up and coming artists right now. I play a lot of Crit on the podcast, man. So if you listen, you know, like, Crit got like an old school, he's got like a down south, he got a bluesy sound to his shit. So that's really, as far as like a lot of these younger cats, man, I fuck with him. Hell, Kendrick Lamar, man, come on. Yeah, so that's pretty much where I'm at with it right now. Let's see, what else? If you ask me, Lil Wayne has ran out of rap words, and the real lyrical guys don't sell and get shine as much as these bubblegum dudes. Anyway, enough of rap. Are you into sports? You know, we, as in the Ohio State, play your boys, aka Michigan University. Yo, I'm a Big Blue fan, but Big Blue sucks right now. So I haven't watched a game in like 3 weeks. The University of Michigan sucks ass right now. And I'm a real fan. I can say that shit. We suck ass right now. There's no way they have a shot against Ohio State. And I'm real enough to say that, man. I fuck that. Like, University of Michigan sucks. They need to fire Brady Hoke and all that shit. They suck. Also, you a Bears fan or a Lions? I'm a Lions fan. And yeah, I would say I'm a true Lions fan too, because we ain't never won shit. But I find myself rooting for him every week. And I grew up watching Barry Sanders and shit. And I can remember, this is a long time ago, shit, back in 91, when the Lions went to the NFC Championship game. That was the closest we ever got to a Super Bowl. We went to the NFC Championship game, and we got thrashed by the Washington Redskins. And I've hated the Redskins ever since. And the Redskins went on to beat the Buffalo Bills that year for the Super Bowl. So, yeah, Lions fan, not a Bears fan. Bulls fan. As far as basketball, I'm a Bulls fan, because I know you asked me that too. I'm sure you like the Pistons. Nah, I'm a Bulls fan, and I'm like fucked up that Derrick Rose is out again. So yeah, it's been pretty as far as like my fandom is concerned, man, like, I've been taking hits left and right. My Bulls, the start is going down for the second year in a row. My Lions, they got the division lead, but they done lost two of the last weeks in a row. Shit, man, at University of Michigan sucks ass as far as football is concerned. We lost to Louisville in the national championship game. I can't catch a break when it comes to my teams, man. All right, fam, won't say too much. Let me know your thoughts. Peace and happy Thanksgiving holidays. All right, man, thanks a lot, Young Rude Boy M, for that email or that message. You know, I hope I answered all of your questions in that. And happy holidays to you too, man. Happy Thanksgiving and whatnot. Yeah, man, it's that time, man. It's about time for me to close it out. But before I leave, of course, you know, I gotta let you guys know how you can get heard here on the Spam Report. And there's a lot of different ways that can happen. You can send me an email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's the Spam Podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll read those right here on the show and respond to you right here on the show, as always. Also, you can call the Spam Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Call the hotline, leave me a voicemail. I'll play those voicemails here on the show, and I'll respond to those voicemails also right here on the show. You can also leave comments on the episodes at thespanreport.com. Every episode of the Spam Report is available at thespamreport.com. You can go to each and every last one of those episodes, leave your comments there, and I'll read those and respond to those right here on the show. And just like Rude Boy just sent me a message on my Facebook fan page, you can go to Facebook, search up Mr. Span on Facebook, and my fan page will show up. So go ahead, like me, send me a message there, I'll read those right here on the show. If you want to, you know, chop it up with me on Twitter, we can do that. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Mr_Span. That's Mr_Span. So, you know, it's pretty much the same as it is everywhere, man. It's Mr. Span across the board. Same as is just like that on Instagram. Mr_Span on Instagram. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do that. I had it private. It's not private no more. So you go ahead and follow me on Instagram. But yeah, it's getting late. I gotta go to work in the morning. I still gotta go make the donuts. So again, man, happy Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a safe holiday. Hope everybody travels well. Hope everybody eats well. And I'll see you guys on the other side of this holiday, man. So until next time, y'all. Peace.
What I'm really trying to say.